After that, there was the Great War with the Eastern Empire. He shrugged, turning his attention back to Weir. And maybe Alchesh really was mad, but it doesn't change the fact that the boundary failing right now is a problem. I can't say anything for certain about Dvade, but I saw that Dargaethan corpse, and we can tell from the stories that those are fearsome, malevolent, intelligent creatures. Should they break through in numbers, they're going to attack regardless of whether they have any guiding force behind them.
Weir thought for a moment, then gave a reluctant nod.
You're right, he admitted. If those creatures really do exist, then it almost doesn't matter whether Dvade is alive. Even by themselves, they're worse than anything the Gilshar could hit us with. If the Tolls aren't prepared, we'll be massacred.
His shoulders slumped.
There's truly no better option? If you think of one, we will take it, said Tayrus seriously.
What about your travel stones?
Davian shrugged as everyone turned to look at him.
Couldn't we just send one across the border, then use the other to create a portal?
Tayrus shook his head.
Even if we found someone trustworthy to take one into Andara, it wouldn't work. Creating a portal uses a vast amount of essence, which needs to be stored up in the stones before they will work. I keep them on me so they constantly feed from my reserve, but any more than a trickle and I'd be setting off finders. It took me 2 months to charge them last time. We won't be able to hide here for that long.
Then it's Thrindar, concluded Weir unhappily.
He looked across at Davian.
I can't say as I like it, but he's right. If we don't get back to Talathion, find out what's going on with the boundary, we could be risking far worse than Desriel's army.
They walked in silence for a while. After a few minutes, Tayrus dropped back beside Davian, tugging on his sleeve to indicate that he should slow down. Weir was talking cheerfully to Caden about what, Davian wasn't sure, but the two of them were laughing. He smiled. Caden had looked dazed, lost, ever since he'd woken, but Weir was always the right person to put someone at ease. Tayrus glanced at the two boys up ahead, frowning.
You and Weir need to be careful, he said, keeping his voice low.
Davian followed his gaze.
Of Caden? He asked. You think he's hiding something?
Oh, I believe him well enough, replied Tayrus. But that doesn't mean he didn't murder those people, or that he isn't complicit in what's happened to you. For all you know, that box could have been meant to restore his memories, after which he may have been meant to kill you.
He sighed.
I'm not saying that's what I think, but it is a possibility.
Davian looked at Caden again. Could this young man, laughing and joking with his friend, really be a killer?
What do you think? He asked.
Tayrus didn't reply for a few moments.
I think there are a handful of people in the world who could have translated what the Shateth said to me last night, he said quietly. What that means, I don't know. But if he turns out to be an enemy, well, you need to stay on your guard.
Davian swallowed. And if we discover he really is dangerous, when we restore his memories at the toll?
Then at least we've chosen the battleground, observed Tayrus.
Without anything further, he increased his pace again, quickly catching up to the other two. Davian soon joined them, but he kept mostly silent as they talked. Tayrus had given him much to think about.
Chapter 16
Asha leaned back in her chair and glanced around the library for what was probably the 100th time that day, unable to concentrate on the work laid out in front of her. It had been almost a week since the sanctuary, and there had been no sign of the North Warden, nor any indication that the Shadrahin had followed through on his plan. She sighed, shuffling the pages in front of her. She still half expected everything to go horribly wrong when the Duke found out about her, but now she just wished it was done either way. The waiting, the uncertainty, was worse by far.
The book's that exciting, is it?
She turned to see Tendrick, watching her with a mildly amused smile. She forced a smile back, hoping that the sudden twisting of her stomach wasn't evident on her face. Tendrick was Jin's replacement. She didn't know whether he was one of the Shadrahin's people, but she suspected not. He seemed to share the same dolorous outlook on life that Raiden and most of the others had, the kind of shadow she studiously avoided when she could. "I'm just tired," she lied, hoping the man would leave her alone. Instead, Tendrick took a seat opposite her. He looked around, then leaned forward a little, lowering his voice. "I've been wanting to ask, do you know where Jin went?" Asha shook her head, unable to look him in the eye. "No idea." Tendrick sighed, looking disappointed but nodding.
"Raiden said the last time he saw him was with you. I was hoping maybe he'd said something before he disappeared. I can't say his is a job that I'd really hoped to be doing," he admitted. "He didn't say anything," Asha reiterated, just wanting the conversation to be over.
The curly-haired shadow was apparently oblivious to her discomfort.
"But he didn't seem worried at all that day. Jumpy?" he pressed. "Haladin says he probably just got tired of things here and left. But Raiden thinks something else happened to him. Like maybe he got on the wrong side of the crowd he was involved with, if you know what I mean."
He shook his head, clearly more interested in spreading gossip than Ash's opinion.
"In which case he brought it on himself, I suppose."
Asha knew she shouldn't say anything, but it was too much.
"Fates, Tendrick! I'm sure it had nothing to do with the Shadrahin," she snapped, unable to keep the anger from her voice. "Jin was a good man, and Raiden is a slimy little fool if he's spreading lies like that."
Tendrick gaped at her a little, taken aback by the outburst.
I, sorry, he said after a moment, looking guilty. "You're right. I'm sure Jin's fine."
Asha set her jaw, glancing at the decay clock. It wasn't quite the end of the day, but it was close enough.
"I have to go," she said, pushing back her chair and gesturing to the papers on her desk. "I'll finish these up tomorrow."
She walked off, leaving Tendrick gaping after her. Once she reached her room, she closed the door behind her and collapsed on the bed, trying to shut out the image of Jin's final moments. She stared up at the ceiling, the frustration and pain of the last few weeks welling up inside her, threatening to break free. She wasn't sure how much more of being here at the toll, like this, she could take. She emitted a long, deep sigh. From the corner of her room, there came a polite cough.
"Ashalia, I presume?"
Asha leapt up again to see two men standing at the far end of the room, having apparently appeared from thin air. A man and a boy, she realized on closer inspection. The boy was near her age, short and thin, with a pallid complexion. A servant of some kind, she thought. The man, though, a rich blue cloak. Tall, and though he looked older, his blonde hair had not yet faded. He had a strong jaw and piercing blue eyes, as well as a little beard that on most people would have looked like an affectation, but instead gave him a dignified air.
"Who are you?"
she asked shakily, though she already knew the answer.
"Duke Elosian Andrus," said the North Warden.
He held up his hands in a calming gesture.
"Please, don't be alarmed. I'm only here for information."
Asha nodded, trying to gather her scattered thoughts. Though she had been expecting this, she was still dazed that it was actually happening. She glanced towards the door, which was still shut.
"How did you get in here, Your Grace?" she added hurriedly.
"I will explain later."
Suddenly the Duke frowned, turning to glance at his servant, who leaned over and whispered something in his ear. He faced Asha again, studying her for a long few seconds in silence.
"It seems this was a waste of time," he said. "I am sorry to have bothered you."
Asha gaped at him for a moment, confused. She hadn't known what to expect from her meeting with the North Warden, but summary dismissal hadn't been one of the possibilities she'd considered.
"Please don't go,"
she said quickly, desperation in her voice. She didn't know what she would do if she lost this opportunity.
"I want to help you find out what happened to my friends, if I can. I want to know who killed them.
And why?
The North Warden turned, scowling, and looked about to make a retort when his eyes fell upon some of the loose pages on her desk. He closed his mouth, frowning, and stepped closer to examine them.
You knew these people?
Asha nodded. She'd been sketching some pictures of her friends at the school in her free time, something she'd wanted to do before their faces became too dim in her memory. There were plenty of images of Davian, and a few of Weir and the others, too. She'd been told some time ago that she had a talent for drawing. It had helped her pass the time and to deal with her grief. Asha swallowed the lump in her throat that formed every time she thought of Davian.
They're my friends, Your Grace, she said softly. The ones who died.
The Duke stared at her for a few moments, his expression softening.
Tell me about them.
It was a request rather than a command. Asha hesitated. A part of her didn't want to share her memories of Davian and Weir with this man. But it felt good to remember.
Davian is sweet, a little too quiet sometimes. He gets wrapped up in his problems and forgets he can share the burden. But he's honest and smart and loyal.
She smiled as she talked about him.
Weir is loud and brash. He'll sometimes act before he thinks it through, but then is clever enough to fix whatever he did wrong before he gets in too much trouble. He's funny and good at...
She gestured vaguely.
Well, he's good at everything, truth be told. And he knows it. He's not arrogant, mind you, but he's more confident than anyone has a right to be. It drives the elders mad, actually.
She felt her expression twist as she realized she had been talking about them in the present tense.
Drove them mad, I mean, she amended softly.
She looked up and was startled to see the North Warden's expression. He was leaning forward, giving her rapt attention. As soon as he registered her surprise, his face became an impassive mask, but she was certain of what she had seen. The Duke didn't say anything, and the long silence began to grow uncomfortable. Just as Asha was about to break it, the Duke straightened, looking at his servant.
You're sure?
The young man inclined his head, the slightest of motions.
Yes, Your Grace.
The Duke shook his head as if surprised at what he was about to do, then sighed, turning to Asha.
You want to help? You want to come to the palace, find out more about what's going on?
Asha nodded, barely daring to hope, though she didn't understand what had changed the Duke's mind.
Of course, Your Grace.
Then come with me, and call me Elosian, at least when we are not in public. Your Grace becomes tiring after a while.
Elosian raised an eyebrow at his servant.
Time to knock on Nashwell's door, I suppose.
He smiled. The Duke paused outside the council chamber door. He turned to Asha.
Let me do the talking in here, he said seriously. I know how to handle the council. Let them think you're robbing them, then ask them for what you really want.
He waited until Asha nodded her assent, then turned to consider the door in front of him.
Now...
A thunderous crash echoed through the council chambers as Elosian kicked the door open as hard as he could. The Duke returned Asha's shocked stare with a shrug.
Puts them off balance.
He strode inside, blue cloak flowing majestically behind, leaving Asha gaping after him.
What is the meaning of this?
Cried a startled voice, joined quickly by others. The shouts were silenced, however, as soon as Elosian entered the room. Asha trailed after the North Warden, his servant following her. Most of the elders' seats were full this time. Another man in a blue cloak sat to the side of the elders, and a younger gifted sat next to him with a pen and paper, scribbling furiously. An official council meeting, then, from all appearances. Elder Ilanar paled as his eyes darted from Elosian to Asha, then back again. There was a deathly hush, even the sound of the scrivener's pen vanishing as the young man stared down at them in shock. The other administrator looked equally stunned.
Duke Andrus,
choked out Nashrel, just as the silence became almost unbearable.
We were not told you were... No, you weren't.
The relatively friendly demeanor the Duke had shown Asha had vanished. He glared up at the supervising administrator and the scrivener.
Out,
he growled. The two men had disappeared before the North Warden had time to turn back to Nashrel.
Now, Elder Ilanar, let us discuss why I am here.
Nashrel looked around desperately as if searching for an exit.
She had nothing to tell, Your Grace, he said. We didn't want to bother. You didn't want to share,
said Alosian, cutting off Nashrel for the second time in a row. He gave an impatient sigh.
I try not to exercise the fourth tenet too much, Elder Ilanar, but sometimes you make me wonder why.
There was silence from the gallery as Nashrel stared at the ground, chastised. Several of the other council members looked equally abashed.
I apologize, Your Grace, Nashrel eventually said stiffly. She is the only one to survive an attack, and we wanted to keep her close. Observe her so we could find out why. We were mistaken not to inform you, though. Keep her close? You made her a shadow and put her to work, growled Alosian. If I hadn't found her, she likely would have rotted in here.
Nashrel coughed.
And if I may be so bold to ask, how did you know about the girl?
Elosian just stared at Nashrel until the other man looked away again. The head of the administrators let the silence drag for a few more seconds, then crossed his arms.
If you insist on acting like children, you will be treated like children. The girl will be coming with me.
Nashrel's face reddened.
Why? What possible use could you have for her? That is my business, the Duke replied. I'm sorry, North Warden, but you don't have the right, Nashrel spluttered. You need the Council's permission to take one of us from the toll. To do otherwise would violate the treaty. A shame you decided to exempt her from the treaty, then, said Alosian, staring squarely at Nashrel. She's not gifted any more, in case you hadn't noticed. But you have no cause, no charge. You still cannot take her against her will. She wants to go.
Everyone's gaze turned to Asha, who reddened under their stares. Nashrel looked at her in disbelief.
Is this true?
He leaned forward.
If you say you do not want to go, he cannot take you, child.
Asha looked back at him steadily.
I want to go.
There was a stunned silence in the chamber as Nashrel just stared at her, open-mouthed. The elder recovered himself after a few seconds, giving Alosian a hesitant glance before looking away again in obvious frustration.
Take her, North Warden, and you lose your best chance at finding him.
The room went very quiet, as if everyone were suddenly holding their breath. Alosian stepped forward, his composure threatening to crack for the first time.
Was that a threat?
Nashrel swallowed.
No, of course not, Your Grace, he said hurriedly,
holding up his hands in a defensive posture.
I meant only that by observing the girl we may learn something that could help. If you take her, we cannot do that.
Elosian looked displeased, but seemed to acknowledge the truth of the statement. The administrator paused for a long few seconds, rubbing his chin thoughtfully.
What if I were to reconsider my stance on your having a representative at court?
Nashrel's eyes seemed to light up at the suggestion, and there was a ripple of excited murmurs from the other elders in the gallery.
What do you propose, Your Grace? One gifted representative from Tol Athien. Ashalia becomes their apprentice, Elosian said. Athien pays her wages. Your representative mentors her and continues to monitor her for any clues as to who attacked the schools or how she survived.
It took only a few moments for Asha to register what the Duke was proposing. When she did, she stared across at him in shock, certain she must have misheard. Representatives were the Toll's ambassadors to the palace. Even as an apprentice to one, she would still be considered an envoy of Tol Athien. For one of the gifted,
it would be an extraordinarily prestigious position. But for her... Nashra looked at Ashalia, and then back at Eleusion, aghast, evidently thinking the same thing.
"But she's a shadow," he exclaimed. "Do you know how many gifted would kill for that position? How can she possibly represent the toll? Surely you understand that we need someone who..." "It's this or nothing, Nashrel," interrupted Eleusion. "Such a role requires no ability to use the gift. Her situation may even be of use. Once the houses know she isn't with the Shadraheen, there are plenty who will feel more comfortable talking to her than one of the gifted."
He paused.
"At least you'll need to explain it to everyone else that way, because you're going to continue to pretend that there were no survivors of Kaladel. Her real reason for being at the palace cannot leave this room. Ever. If it does, I'll know it was one of you who released the information, and I'll expel your representative. Again." "You seem certain we will accept these terms, Your Grace," said Nashrel roughly.
Eleusion sighed.
"If you refuse, I will take Ashalia with me, and you will continue to have no presence in the palace. So this is a good deal, Nashrel. The best you'll hear from me."
Nashrel glared at Eleusion, and Asha imagined she could hear his teeth grinding even from this distance. Eventually, he turned to the other council members.
"Any oppose?"
There was silence from the gallery, and Nashrel grimaced, turning back to look down on Eleusion.
"Accepted," he said,
bitterness thick in his voice.
"We will select a senior representative before the end of the day."
Eleusion nodded.
"Send them directly to the palace. Ashalia will be staying with me. But..."
Eleusion cut off Nashrel with a sharp gesture.
"I'm informing, not asking."
Nashrel gritted his teeth, but nodded.
"As you say, Your Grace."
Eleusion spun and headed for the exit. After a moment, a still-stunned Asha realized she was expected to follow him, half-jogging to catch up. They left. As quickly as that, it was done. Asha and Duke Andrus walked through the sun-drenched streets of Ilin Ilan. Wherever they went, people stopped and stared. Women bent down and pointed them out to their children, and a small crowd even drifted after them as they moved along at an unhurried pace. At first, Asha thought they were gaping at her black-veined face, but before long she overheard some of the whispers as they passed, and she knew that most people weren't even noticing her. They were all focused on Eleusion, the North Warden, the King's brother, the man who had created the Tenets. She tried to talk only once.
"Do you really mean to make me a representative?" she asked the Duke.
"Yes."
"Why?"
Eleusion shook his head slightly, not taking his eyes from the road.
"All in good time," he murmured.
They walked the rest of the way in silence. Chapter 17. Davian struggled forward through the throng, jostled constantly by the mass of people around him, trying to follow Tayris as closely as possible as he snaked through the crowd. The late afternoon sun beat down on Thrindar's main street, which was choked with travelers trying to gain entrance to the great stadium in the town center. Dust kicked up by hundreds of feet drifted everywhere, combining with the sweat on people's faces to make them look more like coal miners than city folk. Merchants on the side of the road yelled hoarsely at anyone foolish enough to glance their way, well aware that this would be the largest crowd they would likely see for many years. The entire scene was dirty, hot, and chaotic. Davian didn't like it at all. "How long now?" he muttered to Tayris, wiping beads of moisture from his brow and scowling as another stranger shouldered past.
"I said 15 minutes, and that was 10 minutes ago. How long do you think?" replied Tayris, irritation creeping into his tone.
Like Davian, he was visibly not enjoying battling through the sweaty crush. Davian gave a short nod in response, glancing across at his other companions. Weir wasn't paying attention, looking more excited than anything else, staring at every new sight with genuine fascination.
Caden, on the other hand, plowed forward with the grim determination and characteristic silence he'd shown for most of their journey.
"How are you holding up?"
Davian asked Caden in a low voice as they were pushed together by the press of bodies. Caden gave him a nervous smile.
"I'll be glad to get indoors."
Davian nodded in understanding.
Word of Caden's escape had arrived in Thrindar well before them, and already there were plenty of posters with his likeness nailed up around the city.
"Shouldn't be long now,"
he said, trying to sound reassuring despite the churning of his own stomach. Taris had already made sure to alter Caden's appearance as much as possible. Cut his hair short, made him wear several layers of clothes to give him a more portly appearance, but all it took was one person to see through the changes. Still, they'd made it this far without incident. It had taken them almost a week to reach Desriel's capital. Traveling had been a tense affair, if uneventful. The constant threat of being discovered by Gilshar soldiers had only been surpassed by the fear of another Shateth finding them. Still, there had been no sign of pursuit, and they had made good time, arriving several days before Taris expected the royal entourage to leave. Davian pushed on behind the others. After a couple of minutes, he shifted his gaze upward from the crowd, catching his first glimpse of Thrindar's great stadium as it began to loom ahead. At least 50 feet high and made of solid stone, the tops of the walls were draped with colorful banners, each one emblazoned with a different symbol.
"The insignias of some of those competing," said Weir, following Davian's gaze. "There must be 100 banners up there," murmured Davian, wiping sweat from his brow. "Are all the fighters lords and such?"
Weir shook his head, face glowing as he took in the atmosphere. Despite his oft-mentioned reservations about Taris's plan, he seemed more excited than worried.
"Not all, but most. Noblemen learn swordplay younger than most, and then have more time to practice as they grow up. It tends to be an advantage."
"No doubt being able to afford entry is an advantage, too."
Davian turned sideways to avoid being run down by a fat woman and the two bawling young children she was dragging behind her. Weir laughed.
"No one can afford entry by themselves," he assured Davian. "The costs are..."
He gestured, shaking his head to indicate that he had no words to describe their enormity.
"Some very few get invitations. Everyone else has backers, sponsors who share the entry cost and reap a percentage of any winnings."
Davian raised an eyebrow.
"And the winnings are enough to share around, with everyone profiting?"
Weir gave an emphatic nod.
"With gold to spare."
Davian looked up at the banners again as they became slowly larger.
"I wonder who they are," he said absently.
He vaguely recognized a couple of the designs, but couldn't identify any of them. "There's
only a few Andaran, plenty of Desrielites and Nerudians, a couple from Nesk, even a few from the Eastern Empire, I suspect."
Davian shot his friend a sidelong glance, partly amused and partly curious. Weir was enjoying himself more than he had since they had decided to come here.
"You really recognize all these banners?"
Weir shrugged.
"Most of them. Jarrus's politically minded lessons were fairly thorough."
Davian grinned as he thought of the Elder.
"Jarrus would have a heart attack if he knew where we were."
Weir smirked.
"Most of the Elders would, I imagine."
The throng thinned a little as they stepped into the shadow of the arena. Soldiers and attendants lined the entrance, studiously funneling people into the appropriate sections of the stadium. Taris hung back, studying the crowd as the other three gathered around him.
"What are you looking for?"
asked Weir.
"We have no chance of getting into the stadium itself. Not so that we could speak to the Andaran delegation anyway," said Taris, softly enough that no passers-by could overhear. "But there must be gifted coming and going. If I can make contact with one of them, we might be able to gain an audience."
Caden frowned.
"And if you are refused?"
Taris shrugged.
"We will deal with that problem should it arise."
Davian fanned his face, the heat of the day by now quite intense.
"How will you recognize them? Even with their cloaks, they'll be hard to spot in this crowd."
Taris gave him a slight smile.
"You'll see."
They loitered for a while, occasionally moving around and browsing through shops and stalls to avoid looking suspicious.
It wasn't difficult to remain anonymous. The crowds were so thick that they probably could have stood still the entire day without anyone noticing. Eventually, Tayrus tensed, nudging Davian.
There, he said with a slight nod of his head.
A man in a red cloak was emerging from one of the stadium entrances, shadowed closely by a guard holding a trap prominently in front of him. The crowd parted wherever the cloaked man went. Several people spat on the ground as he passed. The noise of the crowd, which had been a roar only moments ago, quietened to a low rumble as people stopped their conversations to watch.
"You want to pass a note to him?" Weir said softly, his tone incredulous.
He glanced at Tayrus, then back at the red-cloaked man again, who was still very obviously isolated and had every eye trained on him.
"You may as well ask the man with the trap to pass it on for you."
Tayrus gave a thoughtful nod, scratching his beard.
"I didn't think it would be this bad," he admitted.
They watched as the gifted man, looking more amused than intimidated by the attention, purchased something from a very displeased-looking vendor. Davian shifted to get a better view and was so intent on the red-cloaked man that he walked straight into someone before he realized they were there, causing them to stumble to the ground. He looked down in horror, reddening, and quickly bent to help his victim to her feet. She was about his age, pretty, with long black hair and green eyes that sparkled as they looked up at him with amusement. Her hands were soft and smooth as he pulled her up, stammering his apologies. A shift in the crowd distracted him for a moment. The gifted was meandering back into the stadium, still pursued by the vigilant-looking guard. As soon as he had disappeared, the crowd resumed their conversations, and the scene returned to normal as if nothing had happened. Davian glanced around to see if the girl was uninjured, but she was already gone. Weir was watching him with an amused smile.
"Say nothing," Davian warned. "It was an accident."
"Of course it was," said Weir. "Girls that look like that are easy to miss. Practically invisible, really." Davian glared at his friend. He'd usually played along, but this time Weir's jibe only reminded him of Asha back at Kaladel, and probably wondering why they had abandoned her. As always, the accompanying stab of guilt and fear that she would not forgive him if he ever saw her again put him in a bad mood. Weir sighed, still smiling, but wisely deciding to let the matter go. He turned to Tayrus, who had been ignoring the exchange and was still staring thoughtfully towards the stadium.
"So it looks like we should find another way across the border."
Tayrus shook his head.
"No, there's another chance. A little more direct than I'd like, but it should work."
Without adding anything further, he gestured for them to follow and then set off down the road. They wound their way through a series of narrow streets until they came to a stop outside a large building. Its facade was ornate, with finely carved designs inscribed onto every available surface. Unlike the houses and stores around it, its architecture gave it gentle curves. It wasn't circular, but the entire structure had the impression of having no corners, and as a result was somewhat dizzying to the eye. After a few moments of consideration, Davian decided he didn't like it.
"Where are we?"
he asked Tayrus.
"The Temple of Marut Jatalkanar, God of Balance."
It was Caden, his expression fascinated as he stared up at the structure. Tayrus gave the young man a sidelong glance, then nodded confirmation to Davian. Weir gave Tayrus a disbelieving look.
"You're hoping to get help from here?"
He looked around to make sure no one was close enough to overhear.
"Isn't it a little dangerous? What with the sacredness of essence, and those who use it being abominations and all that?"
Tayrus started up the stairs.
"Just say nothing, do as I tell you, and we will be fine."
He vanished inside without waiting to see if his companions were following. The other three exchanged glances.
"We've trusted him this far," noted Caden.
Davian nodded, and Weir gave a reluctant shrug of agreement. They entered the temple cautiously. Once the doors had closed behind them, the bustling sounds from outside vanished and they were left with only a peaceful hush. Somewhere a fountain burbled,
and somehow a fresh breeze from one of the high windows was cunningly directed downward by the odd shape of the walls sighing in the enclosed space. Skylights meant the large room was well lit, but scented candles burned in the corners, too. Aside from the three of them, the room was unoccupied. Just as Davian had finished taking stock of their surroundings, a side door swung open, and Taris strode through, followed by what appeared to be a very drunk priest. The man staggered over one of the steps, then tripped completely, sliding along the polished marble floor with an odd grace. Taris snorted, then hurried over to help him up and check he was uninjured. "I present to you the High Priest of Talkanar, God of Balance," whispered Weir to the others. Davian stifled a giggle which would have echoed quite embarrassingly around the open room, and even Caden, usually more reserved, hid a smile. Eventually the priest managed to make his way over to where they stood without falling, though that was mainly due to the assistance of Taris. Taris propped him up as they came to a halt, making sure he wasn't going to collapse again before letting him go.
"Boys, this is Nahim Seti, someone we can trust. Nahim, this is Weir, Davian, and Caden."
The man called Nahim looked at them through bleary eyes.
"Pleased to meet you," he slurred.
Taris grimaced.
"Don't blame him. It's the month of debauchery," he explained with a roll of the eyes. "Of all the choices, getting drunk is about the most moral thing you can do and still look pious."
"Seems like it should be more popular," said Weir, gesturing to the empty space around them.
Nahim snorted.
"Popular? No. In fact, these days we only survive through the decree of the Gilshar."
He shook his head groggily.
"This month may be all well and good, but there's a month of abstinence, too. A month of gluttony and one of starvation. A month of pleasure and a month of pain."
"So you'd be devout half the year," said Weir with a grin.
Nahim winced.
"I take it you're not from around here. Don't let anyone else hear you talking like that," he slurred. "Here you choose one of the nine gods, and that's your path. Set in stone. No changing, no slacking off. If you don't follow the precepts and then get caught..."
He made a slicing motion with his finger across his throat.
"They kill you?" said Davian in astonishment.
"We like to think of it as aggressive evangelism," replied Nahim glibly. "There's a reason the gifted are so hated here, Davian," Taris interrupted. "Being devout isn't just a choice in Desriel. It's a way of life, indoctrinated and law."
He hesitated.
"So you can see what a risk Nahim is taking for us."
Nahim stared at a spot on the ground.
"Taris, I'm in no state to help you and your friends right now. But give me an hour. We have tonics in the back for clear-headedness."
It was obvious he was struggling to concentrate.
"The others shouldn't be back for days. I'm basically in charge for the moment. No one wants to be stuck in the temple during Jilimor. You shouldn't be disturbed if you stay in there."
He gestured to the smaller room from which he had just emerged. Taris gripped him by the arm.
"Thank you, Nahim," he said sincerely.
The four of them filed into the side room, Davian glancing behind him to see Nahim stumbling off to another section of the temple. There were comfortable-looking chairs and couches lining the wall of this room, but none of the finery that was on display in the main chamber. It seemed to be a common room for the priests, rather than for public use. They talked quietly amongst themselves. Davian was full of questions about the Song of Swords. To his surprise, Weir seemed better equipped to answer more of them than Taris. The last two winners of the song were fighting in this tournament, apparently, though Selbin Haran, the victor from 14 years ago, was almost 40 now. Caden seemed fascinated by the entire concept, but as always, he kept his thoughts mostly to himself. Davian observed him surreptitiously for a while, as he'd tried to do a few times this past week. He liked Caden, but he knew he had to be careful about his instincts.
It was his credulous nature that had landed them in this mess in the first place. He couldn't just give Caden the benefit of the doubt. He had to wait until they were safely in Ilin Ilan, and their companion's role in all of this had finally been explained before trusting him. Eventually, the door to the main chamber opened again, and a much more composed-looking Naim stepped through. His long black hair was now bound, and the redness around his eyes had all but vanished. He was also tall, Davian realized with a start. He must have been slouching considerably before. He moved with a sure step and confident air that seemed much more befitting a priest.
"I apologize for the wait," he said to them in a strong, clear voice. "Even with the medicines at my disposal, this time of year can be a trial."
"Not your fault," said Taerys amiably. "Do I need to do the introductions again?"
Naim chuckled.
"No, no. Davian, Caden, Huir."
He pointed to them each in turn. Then he sighed, giving them a considering look.
"So, Taerys, you've gathered a small group of friends. I never picked you as the type to enjoy company."
His tone was casual, but there was definitely a question behind it. Taerys gave him a slight smile.
"You're right about that, but sometimes we don't have a choice in the matter."
Weir rolled his eyes at Davian, who grinned. Naim just nodded.
"I hear there was some trouble down south. Bad stuff. Gifted involved and everything. A man caught helping someone mixed up in that would probably not end up on the good side of the Gilshar."
"True, but then a favor that large would clear a lot of debts, too," said Taerys.
Naim smiled at that.
"I wouldn't go that far, but it will be a start."
He clapped Taerys on the back.
"So beyond giving you a roof over your heads, what can I do for you?"
"I need to get a message to the king," said Taerys, "before he leaves Thrindar."
"Ah," Naim nodded. "Of course. Safe passage across the border. A good thought. I'll give you that."
He shrugged apologetically.
"One problem. The king isn't here."
Taerys's smile slipped.
"What?"
"There's still a delegation," Naim rushed to assure him. "But it's led by the princess."
Taerys frowned.
"Caroline is being given duties of state? She's just a girl."
"She's 18, Taerys," said Naim with a grin. "She's old enough to have suitors trailing after her like a pack of wolves."
Taerys shook his head.
18, he muttered to himself. "Time has flown. Still, I would not have thought King Andras comfortable enough to send her to Desriel. Not in these times."
Naim shrugged.
"From what I hear, one of the tournament favorites is a close friend of hers. She wanted to come."
"Regardless," Taerys turned back to Naim, "Caroline may not understand the message, but she will surely have an entourage of gifted who are old enough. If you can give them this," he pressed something into Naim's palm, "and arrange passage for us into the stadium to meet them, that will be more than enough."
Naim inspected the small metal token in his palm. It was a simple design, like a coin, but steel and with three triangles punched from the middle.
"What is it?"
"A symbol from the Unseen War, a request for sanctuary. Any gifted who lived in Andara through those times will know what it means."
He pointed to the triangular holes.
"One triangle meant the person asking was in no danger. Two meant they were in some danger, but not immediate."
He shrugged.
"Three meant that if sanctuary wasn't granted, the gifted was most likely going to be captured and killed."
Naim nodded.
"I think you are probably right to use the three triangles then," he mused.
"As it is, it's the only one I have left."
Naim inspected it for a few more seconds, then gave a sharp nod, slipping the token into his pocket.
"Very well."
He glanced at the boys, then back to Taerys.
"I would have a word in private first, if it's not too much trouble."
Taerys inclined his head, looking unsurprised by the request. He turned to the boys.
"Wait here," he said. "This won't take long."
He followed Naim out the door. Davian, Weir, and Caden exchanged curious glances, but none made any move to follow.
"So who do you think he is?" asked Weir as soon as the door had closed.
Davian shrugged.
"He knows we're gifted and isn't trying to kill us. That's good enough for me."
Caden nodded his agreement. Weir was having none of it.
"He's a Desrealite priest, or posing as one anyway. Aren't you the least bit curious?"
He leaned forward.
"My guess is that he's one of Tolathian's spies, an informer."
Caden gazed at the closed door.
"Dangerous job if he is."
"More so now we know he's a friend of the gifted," observed Weir.
"Even if he's not a spy, this is a significant risk he's taking. He must owe Taerys for something big to not have turned us away."
"Maybe that's what they're talking about," said Davian. Weir cast a longing look towards the door, and for a second Davian thought he meant to follow the two men. Then he sighed.
"Whatever it is, it's obviously nothing they want us to overhear."
After that, there was only the occasional wisp of conversation as they waited. Mostly Davian and Weir talked, though occasionally Caden would contribute a word or two as well. The young man rarely spoke more than that at one time. He'd sometimes ask about things he'd either forgotten or never known about, but mostly he just listened, apparently fascinated by what others were saying. For all that, when Caden did talk, he had a friendly, if shy, manner, and was unfailingly polite. Not for the first time, Davian found himself convinced that, if nothing else, the Gilshar's charges against him had to be false. A half hour had passed by the time Taerys returned.
"Niamh is taking the message to the Great Stadium," the scarred man said in answer to the boy's questioning looks. "If he is successful, we should be escorted there within a couple of hours."
Davian nodded, allowing himself a glimmer of hope at the news. He flashed a tight smile at Weir, but his friend was staring concernedly into space and didn't respond, looking more upset than relieved at the news.
"Everything all right?" asked Davian, giving his friend a gentle nudge with his elbow.
Weir blinked, then shook his head as if to clear it.
"As right as it can be, given the circumstances," he said with a shrug.
He still looked uncomfortable, though.
"Wishing you hadn't come with me?" asked Davian.
"Fates, yes," said Weir with a grin. "But you wouldn't have made it a day without me, so maybe it was worth it." Davian gave a half-smile, half-grimace back. The words were said in jest, but a pang of guilt stabbed at him anyway.
"I'm sorry I got you into this mess," he said softly, so only his friend could hear.
Weir shook his head.
"You've been apologizing all week, Dav. You don't need to anymore," he said, his tone firm.
"It's not your fault. You couldn't have known. And anyway, if what Taerys tells us is even close to true, some good may yet come of all this. If we can get Caden to the toll, find out whether there really is something dangerous going on with the boundary, it will all have been worth it."
Davian paused, then inclined his head.
"Thanks." He leaned back, looking around. Caden was sitting quietly. His eyes were closed, but Davian suspected he was still awake. Taerys had sat himself down at a desk and was thumbing through some papers he'd discovered.
"How do you know Niamh?"
Davian asked Taerys.
"He didn't seem too concerned about having four of the gifted in his temple."
Taerys paused from what he was doing.
"He's an old friend, someone we can trust."
He gave Davian a hard look.
"More than that is not my place to say."
There was an air of finality to the statement, a tone that brooked no argument. Davian accepted it with a reluctant nod. Sometime later, the door opened and Niamh stepped through, trailed by two uneasy-looking Desrealite soldiers. For a panicked moment, Davian thought they had been betrayed, but Taerys rose smoothly from his seat, calm as he gestured for them all to do the same. Trying to look composed, Davian stood.
"Children of Marut-Ja," said Niamh grandly, "these soldiers have been ordered to take you directly to the Great Stadium for your audience with Princess Caroline Andress."
He paused, and though his expression was serious, Davian thought he saw laughter in the priest's eyes.
"If they do not carry out this duty swiftly and faithfully, you will let me know."
Taerys bowed.
For the glory of the last god.
For his glory alone, responded Niam.
They followed the soldiers from the temple with no further goodbyes uttered to or from Niam. Soon they were back within sight of the great stadium, the massive walls towering above them. The crowds outside had thinned somewhat. The gates had been shut, and Davy and Thori could see more than one disappointed face amongst the crowd. The stadium must be at capacity. For a moment he wondered if they would be allowed entry, but as soon as the soldiers at the entrance saw them, they were opening the steel gates a crack and ushering them through. The stone passageway in the underbelly of the stadium was pleasantly cool compared to outside. Davian barely had time to marvel at the intricate stone friezes set into the walls before they were ascending a set of winding stairs. At the top, a pair of burly guards waved them through into another long passageway with a narrow window cut out of the side overlooking the arena itself. Davian couldn't help but gape a little as they walked along. Thousands upon thousands of people were packed into the stands. It was a writhing sea of color like he had never seen before, could not have imagined. There was the low rumble of countless excited voices in the air, and the atmosphere itself seemed alive, buzzing with anticipation. Finally, their escorts reached another set of guarded doors. These ones closed. There was a quick discussion between the two pairs of soldiers, and then they were being guided into a side room, isolated from the crowd and completely empty. A small window gave them a view of the arena, but only when standing right up to it.
"You will wait here until after the final bout," said one of the soldiers.
His tone was firm, but his eyes betrayed his nervousness. He evidently didn't want this delay getting back to Niam. Taras frowned, looking displeased, but he obviously decided it was not worth risking closer examination by forcing the issue.
"Very well."
There was a pause, and then Taras added,
"You may leave us."
The soldiers, clearly relieved there had been no reprisals for the delay, fled gladly. Weir glanced at the window.
"While we're here..."
Davian was already moving.
"Agreed."
Taras and Caden soon joined them, and the four stood in a line along the elongated, painless window, leaning forward against the ledge it provided. In the center of the arena were two men. One stood relaxed, almost casual, as he sauntered around in small circles, swinging his blade through the air to test its weight and balance. He was slim, lithe, and looked much the same age as Davian. His opposition was a giant of a man. Muscle rippled along his arms with every movement, and the sword in his hand looked more like a rapier than the broadsword it actually was. His face was crisscrossed with scars. It was difficult to tell, but he looked older, possibly in his early 40s. He stood stock still, staring at the other man as if watching his prey.
"They're not wearing armor," Davian noted in surprise.
Both men wore simple pants and loose-fitting shirts which were open at the front. There was no protection to speak of. Their swords glinted in the afternoon light.
"The edges of the swords are blunted," explained Weir.
"Surely that's still dangerous?" asked Davian.
"It is a sword fight," noted Weir.
"It's very rare anyone gets killed," interjected Taras. "Broken bones are usually the worst of it."
There was silence as they watched for a few more seconds. The crowd outside had hushed as something was being announced, though the voice was too muffled from their position to understand. Weir squinted at two large banners draped from a far balcony, evidently representing the two finalists.
"I think one is an Andoran. I recognize the sigil. Shane Weir, I think."
"Which one?" asked Davian.
Weir studied the two men in the arena.
"The younger," he said eventually. "Lord Shane Weir would be too old to be here, and I doubt he'd have the skill anyway. It must be his son."
A trumpet sounded, signaling the beginning of the fight. The crowd roared as the combatants began circling each other warily, feinting occasionally with their feet, but otherwise simply sizing up their opponent.
"Our man's a bit smaller than the other one, then," observed Davian dryly.
Weir shrugged.
"Strength is important, but it's usually the quicker, smarter man that wins."
The two men were still circling, but suddenly Shane Weir flew into action. He launched himself forward in a blur of movement. His sword flashed again and again as the other man blocked blow after blow, moving quickly backwards as the younger man threatened to come in under his guard. When the swords touched, there were sparks of light. Davian could almost see the large man's eyes go wide as he desperately tried to follow the arc of Shane Weir's blade. Some of the crowd leapt to their feet, and a rousing cheer echoed thunderously around the stadium. Shane Weir had broken off the attack. Davian could tell even from this distance that both men were breathing heavily. The larger man did not wait long before responding, though. He came forward in a rush, swinging his enormous sword as if it were light as a feather. It was Shane Weir's turn to move backward, though when he retreated he did so smoothly, cat-like, as if it had been his intention to do so all along. Despite the blaze of sparks, he seemed to be blocking his opponent's blows almost lazily at times, though Davian had no doubt that it must have been taking every ounce of his strength and concentration to do so. Without warning, Shane Weir stopped retreating and dove forward, evidently picking up on some flaw in the other man's footwork. Even from this distance, Davian could see the surprise in the big man's eyes as Shane Weir's sword slashed across both his legs. Shane Weir rolled and came to his feet behind the massive man, watching as he slumped to his knees, mouth open in a bellow of pain that was lost beneath the roar of the crowd. For a second, Davian thought the fight was over, but the big man forced himself to his feet and began circling again, his smooth motion showing no sign of his injury. Swords clashed again and again. Minutes passed as the two combatants fought. With each engagement, the crowd seemed to roar louder, with more fervor, and before long, Davian realized that the cheers were heavily favoring the larger man.
"They don't want an Andaran to win," murmured Taris to no one in particular, as if reading his thoughts. "The song's not supposed to be about politics, but there's a lot of bad blood between the two countries right now. It would be a slap in the face to Dusriel if Shane Weir got the victory here."
As he spoke, there seemed to be a slight shift in the battle. The muscular man pressed forward at a furious pace. Rather than breaking off as he had done previously, he kept up the offensive, his sword a blur as Shane Weir backed away desperately. Just as it seemed he could attack no more, the man gave one last heavy blow, the force of it knocking Shane Weir's sword from his grip and sending it sailing out of reach. The younger man's shoulders sagged, but he clenched his fist and held it over his heart, a sign of both surrender and respect. The crowd screamed its approval, and then it was over. Davian looked at Weir with a disappointed expression, but his friend seemed relieved, as did Taris. Caden just looked thoughtful.
"Good," Taris muttered to himself, turning away from the window. "Time to get out of this place."
If he had been expecting an immediate audience, though, he was to be disappointed. It was at least another hour, well after the presentation to the winner had been completed, before the door to the hallway outside finally opened again. Taris groaned under his breath as a tall, thin man in a red cloak swept into the room.
"He's from Tol Shan. This may be more difficult than I first thought," he muttered to Davian.
The elder stopped when he saw Taris, staring hard into his scarred face for several seconds. Then he gave a sneering laugh.
"Taris Sar," he said with a smile that held a complete lack of warmth. "I almost didn't recognize you. So you're still alive. I always thought we got rid of you a little too easily."
He examined Taris disdainfully.
"What happened to your face?"
Taris stiffened but ignored the insult.
"Administration were not kind before I escaped," he said quietly. "We've had our differences, Drass, but I hope we can look past them today. I need your aid. We have nowhere else to turn."
Davian watched Taris silently. None of them had asked their companion how he had come by his myriad scars, but Davian had wondered, and now he knew. Another on the list of sacrifices Taris had made for him. Drass sighed.
"I've already distracted a Gilshar escort and Caroline's two administrators just to come and see you. I'm not sure what more I want to do for a criminal like yourself."
Taris kept his face smooth.
"These boys need a safe passage out of Dusriel."
Drass stared at Taris for a moment, then roared with laughter.
"Is that all?"
he chuckled. He turned from Tayrus, shaking his head in disbelief as he inspected Davian Weir and Caden. It was only a cursory glance, but then his smile faded and he looked at them again, this time through narrowed eyes.
"You are keeping worse company than usual, Tayrus," he said, all traces of amusement gone from his tone.
He pointed to Caden.
"His disguise may have fooled the savages thus far, but I wouldn't trust it doing so for much longer. Those likenesses around the place are surprisingly accurate."
"He was falsely accused, Drass," said Tayrus. "You know what the Gilshar are like."
"Even if I believed you and was inclined to help, did you really think the princess would allow this man to travel with her? Did you think she would vouch for him at the border?"
Drass shook his head, not taking his eyes from Caden, who had shrunk back under the thin man's gaze.
"Even you are smarter than that, Tayrus. Why would she take the risk? If the Gilshar found out, it would likely start a war."
"Who's starting a war?"
a female voice came from the doorway. As one, everyone in the room turned. The young woman who had spoken swept into the room, followed closely by several others. From the way everyone moved, Davian had no doubt that this was the princess. He felt himself gaping a little at her entrance. She was magnificent. Her long flaxen hair was delicately arranged so that not a strand was out of place. Her elegant deep blue dress was simple but stylishly cut, and sparkling jewels glittered on her ears and at her neck. She was pretty, with green eyes and high, delicate cheekbones. But beyond all that, she had an air of authority, an indefinable presence that made him stand up a little straighter. To Davian's left, even Caden, normally all but unreadable, wore a captivated expression as he looked at her. Behind her trailed two men and a woman who immediately faded into the background. Bodyguards, unless Davian missed his guess. After them came a couple of older attendants, then a younger man and woman who looked around as if uncertain as to whether they should even be present. With a start, Davian realized that the young man was the fighter they had seen out in the stadium. He had changed clothes and bore no signs of the bout he had lost, though his demeanor seemed odd. He stood in the corner of the room, and if Davian had not just seen him put up such a brave fight in front of thousands of people, he would have said he looked sulky. Tayrus stepped forward, ignoring Drass and bowing to the woman.
"Your Royal Highness," he said formally, "I hope that no one will be starting anything. My companions and I are in grave danger, and—"
He trailed off, realizing the princess was no longer paying attention to him. Davian turned, following her gaze. At the back of the room, Weir was cringing under the princess's increasingly outraged glare. Tayrus and Drass both looked from Caroline to Weir and then back again in complete confusion.
"You!"
Princess Caroline said imperiously, pointing directly at Weir.
"Walk with me."
Weir grimaced, shuffling forward, avoiding everyone's stares. As Caroline's entourage began to follow her from the room, she turned, shaking her head at them.
"You will stay here and attend to these men until I return," she said firmly.
"Princess!"
The cry of protest came from Drass.
"I must insist that someone accompany you. This boy is traveling in the company of a murderer. Two murderers! There is no telling what danger he might pose."
"Are you refusing to follow my express command and thus the command of my father, Representative Lothlar?"
snapped Caroline. It had the exasperated sound of someone who had had this conversation before. Drass hesitated, then subsided,